Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You're official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He's the bad guy in the movie.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
We'll get ready for Christmas. It's coming.
It's coming.
I'm telling you, he's coming to your theaters, and I'm telling you. It's J.K. Simmons, right? He's playing Santa. And I'm telling you, you don't hire J.K. Simmons to just be the kidnapped Santa who's hardly in the movie. I'm telling you, it's like watching one of those, it's like watching Law and Order. It's like watching old school Columbos. It's like watching any of these shows. Like, you know, if it's a face you recognize, he's involved. I mean, that's how it works. You know this, man. And I'm telling you. There's the whole thing is going to end up being Santa Claus is behind the whole thing. I promise you. I promise you. I nailed it. Very proud of myself.
A walking movie spoiler you are. You know that?
Yeah. Well, listen, it can't be a spoiler. It's my opinion. Spoiler is departing information that you know to be fact. I don't know this to be fact.
It's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. A spoiler is I've seen it. I'm telling you. This is my guess. This is what we do. I think the Giants are going to lose next week. Oh, I guess we're all doing spoilers.
This is like the single thing again where he's debating the definition of a word.
Right, exactly right. It's not a spoiler. This is what we do. I think Brian Dable's going to be hired. Stay. I think Brian Dable's going to be fired. That's not a spoiler. It's
that's
my
totally
opinion.
Different.
How's that? It's what we. It's an opinion.
No, but that's totally different.
It's not.
Because this, you're using common sense to figure out what the end of a movie or TV show will be.
Right. It's an opinion. It's a prediction. It's not a spoiler.
It's a well-informed prediction.
How?
From your many years of watching movies and TVs.
And that's not something you can do with predicting sports, I guess.
Right, exactly right.
Not with these owners that we have.
Well, you know what? I think that's fair. I think the movie industry is easier to predict than the crappy owners in this city. That is
Can fair. New York football get an algorithm?
Yeah, they should. Bring analytics to these two franchises. No,
works for the Yankees.
It works. It does. On some level, it certainly does. Don't be sarcastic. I can feel the sarcasm coming from you. They were in Game 5 of the World Series. Let's stop acting like they're awful.
I'm with you. Listen, could you imagine how these football teams would sign up for playoffs just about every year? Oh. Occasional World Series, Super Bowl appearance?
Good. How about 8 wins? Be 500 on a regular basis.
Right. You know what, as a Jets fan, I would do for the equivalent of 82-80?
That's true. It's true, but it's not a spoiler. Spoilers are facts that I'm giving you. That's not a spoiler. It's a prediction. Might be a smart one. In fact, I think it will be.
We'll talk about this later tonight.
Yeah. I'll go back home. You can enjoy Paul the rest of the night.
Yeah, why not? I heard you were in everything all right? Where should I avoid leaving here?
I don't think you'll be at the lead-up. The tunnel is fine and clear. The lead-up to the tunnel was a little weird, but we
really?
Got it.
Okay, good. Well, he's here on time. All right, so I was going to do Jets, but I just saw something from Pat Leonard. We're going to get into the Jets in a second. John, I'm going to take your call still before I get to the Jets. But Pat Leonard just put out a point about Daniel Jones and the benching of Daniel Jones. So it's a little clarity. I think most people understood this, but a little clarity on the situation because it's not just benching Daniel Jones. And I've kind of mentioned this a little bit too, but I'm just so fed up with seeing him. It's just about benching him. But if you bench him, if you make the decision to move on from Daniel Jones, it's not just not playing him, right? Whether you pick Drew Lock or whether you pick Tommy DeVito, Daniel Jones isn't a part of the team moving forward. Like, it's that simple. Because, and this was a question I wasn't sure of, but this is from Pat Leonard, the Daily News. The injury guarantee would be a major factor in benching Jones, obviously. Well, here's how it works. If Jones sustains an injury in any game, workout, or practice on the Giants' premises that prevents him from passing a physical at the start of the 2025 NFL year next year, which would be in March, if he can't pass a physical at the start of the year next March, 23 of his $30 million salary will become guaranteed. Without the injury, it would still be $12 million of the... without the injury, $12 million of that $23 million become guaranteed simply if Jones is on the Giants roster on the fifth day of the 2025 NFL year. So now, I don't know if they can cut him prior to that and avoid all of his money and even that $12 million, but whatever the case may be, if he gets hurt, whether it's in practice, whether it's in the game, if he gets hurt like he has two of the last three seasons, this is not a simple, hey, Chris, you can't fear injuries. You can't. No, this is a dead season with a quarterback who two of the last 3 years ended the season in this manner. 2 years ago, the last year of Joe Judge, the neck injury, finished the year injured, and then obviously the blown out knee last year. So two of the last 3 years, that's been the case. That can't happen. You can't have $23 million on the books for a quarterback you no longer intend to play. It cannot happen. He not only needs to be benched, he needs to be off the team. And I know that sounds harsh. And again, it's not all Daniel Jones' fault. And he's not the worst thing I've ever seen. He doesn't deserve to be jettisoned strictly on his play. But this is the world we live in. Daniel Jones can't account for, he could get hurt at practice. Like, I know at practice you put the red shirt on him, but he's had a knee injury. He could have a non-contact injury. I know that's silly. And I know you can't think like that in many aspects. But when the guy is no longer a part of your team, you can think like that. You have to think like that. Anything could happen. Daniel Jones not only needs to be benched, Daniel Jones needs to be holding a clipboard in plain clothes for the rest of his Giant career, which is the rest of this miserable, disgusting season. That's the only answer that makes any sense. And like I said, and I did a little bit of a defending Brian Daboll to open the show, and it was more of just the idea that I don't think, and even in the Pat Leonard, at the end of it, I don't agree with what Pat writes here, in my opinion. I understand why he thinks it. Most people do. But at the end of his little note about how this works, he says, the Giants' intention clearly is to not have Jones on the roster next year, so risking injury, financial commitment wouldn't make much sense. But benching Jones permanently would be risky for Shane and Daboll because they can't afford to bottom out down the stretch. Why not? Why can't they afford to bottom out down the stretch? What about bottoming out down the stretch is worse than 2-8? And the season already being over on November 12th. What is worse? How can you get worse? They just lost to the Carolina Panthers. In Germany, the whole world watching, Machine Gun Kelly performing John Denver at the halftime show. Like, what's worse than that? Think about that. Think about the game. Think about the halftime show. Think about the record. They're 2-8. The season's dead. Is 2-8, honestly, and maybe I'm wrong, call me up and tell me I'm an idiot, 888-808-1019, is 2-8 really much better than 2-15? Like, honestly, what's the difference? What's the difference? Once it's gone, it's gone. Once the season's dead, it's dead. You can't get more dead. You can't get... you know, worse. You can't get really dead. Okay? This is not the Princess Bride. It's not mostly dead. It's just dead. The season's dead at 2-8. What do I care if it ends 2 and 15. They're not mostly dead. They're not waiting for true love to save them. There is no magic pill from Billy Crystal. There's nothing done here. It's dead. I don't care how they go once they're dead. That's how I feel. So for me, if you haven't already made the decision on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, if you already haven't seen enough, I really don't know what the rest of this season can do. If they win 2 or 3 games, win 6 games, take themselves out of drafting the quarterback or, you know, being in a position to get at the top of the draft, and they win a couple games down the stretch, does that save him from what this is? Do you suddenly feel better about Brian Daboll? Do you go, hey, listen, at 2-8, I was worried. At 2-8, I was worried. I really thought this guy had lost the team. I wasn't sure about him. And at 2-8, I was ready to just say, forget this whole thing. But you know what? They won 3 games. And now they're 5-12. They won 3 games down the stretch here. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's be honest. They went, you know, they went 3-4 down this last 7 games. 3-4. That's not that bad. He really turned it around. I feel a hell of a lot better about Brian Daboll now. I got to be fair. I was ready to throw it all in when he was 2-8. But now, at 4-13, at 5-12, I feel, thank God I didn't make that rash decision of firing him then. Because, man, if he didn't turn this whole thing around, like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? The decision should be made. I'm not saying do it now. You don't fire him midseason. It makes no sense. The 2-8, it doesn't even make any sense. But if you haven't made up your mind about him, I really don't know what. So what if the team bottoms out and falls apart? Who cares? And people will bring up McAdoo and Judge. Like I said, you know, McAdoo benched Eli Manning for Geno Smith and turned the whole freaking city against him. And he looked clueless. I really don't think Brian Daboll looks that same level of clueless. I really don't. And Joe Judge, forget about it. I mean, he's running quarterback sneaks at his own goal line, and he's bad-mouthing other NFL coaches, respected ones like Ron Rivera. Like, he dug his own grave with his mouth. They were going to keep him. He wasn't going to get fired off of wins and losses. He talked himself into getting fired. Brian Daboll doesn't say anything. Like, I don't get the thought process. I don't. You can't bottom out here. They're 2-8. Is there a further, deeper bottom? They just lost to the Panthers. The season's over. How much more bottom can you get? 888-808-1019. Let's get to John in Long Island. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Oh, you know, just great New York football.
Isn't it glorious? Isn't it just wonderful?
You know, Chris, I'm a 35-year-old Jets fan, and I become numb to this team.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be the year, and we said that last year, right, as Jets fans. You know, 4 plays in, Rodgers got hurt, comes back this year. We think we're stacked, and this team is lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
The team has quit, and it's almost like the team has a disease. Yeah. And
I got to tell you, what's puzzling about it is that they quit after. Like, if they would have quit in the second half after the miserable first half against the Texans, I still would have agreed with you, but I would have been like, okay, listen, they quit. To rally back, win that game, and then quit in Arizona is, I don't understand it. It's hard. It's even worse. It makes it worse. I don't understand. I don't understand.
For years, Chris, the Jets have never done well with having extra rest.
You're right.
They had 10 days to prepare for that game, and that was an atrocity, what they put out there.
Yep.
And then traveling to the West Coast as well. They never do well on the West Coast. I need to look at this now going forward from this standpoint. The team is in a tailspin, and this year is done to me. It's finished. It's done. It's over.
Oh, yeah.
Now, with Woody Johnson probably getting an ambassadorship.
Well, we'll see. I don't know about that, but we'll see.
I mean, it's likely. I mean, it's not guaranteed, but it's likely. The Johnsons need to do what Dolan did with the Knicks and the Rangers. They need to take a step back and bring in a head of football ops, a well-respected guy around the league, and because the Johnsons have meddled too much into the team. They've done way too much.
Yeah.
My concern is that...
Who's going to take that job? You just said the Johnsons have meddled too much and done too much. Like, who's going to want to come be the president of football operations?
I tell you, I name Chris and call me crazy. The guy is one, I would give Pete Carroll a call and say, would he be interested not being a coach,
yeah,
but trying to transform the team? Because there's no winning with this team right now. There's not a winning culture.
Yeah, but he has, and Pete Carroll has no experience doing that. He's a coach.
But you know what, though? I feel here, yeah, Chris, you have to try to get a winning culture into this team. And you have to start somewhere.
Hire him as a coach. That sounds better to me than hiring him as something he's never done. I mean, we saw that with Phil Jackson, and it turned out to be a disaster. I mean, Pete Carroll's a great head coach, and I still think that as old as he is, he's incredible shape. I haven't seen him in a year now, but I'm sure, you know, he's incredible shape. Hire him as the coach. I think that's reasonable. I don't like him as the GM or de facto president of football operations. I agree with you that he could bring a winning culture, but do it as a head coach.
My concern, Chris, is that if the Johnsons don't take a step back, who wants to be a coach of this team?
Yeah.
I know there's only 32 spots.
Yeah.
I get that, there right?
Right. But I hear what you're saying. But there is no taking a step back. Like, it'll be a perceived step back. They can't do that now. Like, they have to do a step back and make it felt like and make it feel like that for 5 years before anybody would believe it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hiring you say, oh, they'll hire a president of football operations and make it seem like they're taking a step back. Like, who's going to be that first guinea pig, for lack of a better term, that's going to have to take over that job? Like, who's going to step in and say, okay, I mean, they've shown me no reason to think they'll take a step back, but they're going to hire me in the effort of making it publicly shown that they're taking a step back. Like, who's going to take that job? Like, you're concerned about who's going to take the head coaching job. Who's going to take the president of football operations job? I agree with you that hiring people is going to be a problem, but I don't think, you know, the czar isn't going to have a problem. What is he going to get? And guaranteed in writing, they'll leave him alone? Like, they're the owners. That's how it works. Same thing as Fleetwood just told me. In my headset, he's right. Like, and I just said it would take a long period of time of the Woody Johnson showing that they've taken the step back before people will believe it. Much like I mentioned, Phil Jackson, that's what happened with the Knicks. You know, he hired Phil Jackson. He stepped away. He let Phil Jackson run the show unsuccessfully, but then Leon Rose was led to believe that business could be handled like that at Madison Square Garden. And now they're in the better position for it. Like, whoever's going to be the first person to take that job, there's no guarantee the Johnsons will step away no matter what is said. Like, that's just the bottom line. And again, and I believe Fliegelman and I have said this on the air, like, there are coaches who will be desperate to take jobs. Like, there will be coaches who have failed in other spots. There will be coaches who see it as an opportunity with talent on the field, with, you know, a group of young, talented players that the Jets still have, and maybe he could turn it around. That's like, I think it's easier to actually hire the coach and have someone take a chance to be the coach of this team, although I agree it's not necessarily a great spot. I don't think everyone's going to be running to take the job, but I think you can get more of a competent coach than a GM who's going to have to come in here and run the show with Woody Johnson when we've seen him take liberties and fire head coaches without the GM say-so, or, you know, go out and sign quarterbacks or keep quarterbacks as the backup if you believe in that narrative that's some of the stuff that's been held into, you know, put into Joe Douglas's lap. Like, I think it's easier because the feeling about the GM as a assistant GM and stuff doesn't change as much as the head coach who's on the field or steps away for a while. Like, if you have an unsuccessful tenure as a GM or part of an unsuccessful group, they'll still consider you smart and people will talk you up and it's not as public. You're not the face of things. If you're a bad head coach or you're a coordinator on a bad team, like, your stock falls pretty quickly. So I think in the world of coaching, guys are more worried about their stock being so bad that they will no longer have opportunities, so they'll be willing to take any opportunity in the hopes of changing that narrative. Where GMs, even if they're on an assistant GM to a team that's falling apart, they'll take another job, and it's just an assistant GM, and he still could be smart. Like, I just don't know if it's as damning and you have a better chance of a guy's waiting for his chance. Like, I'll tell you, I'm right now, I am a, like, coaches are like, right now I'm a hot candidate. I better just take a job because who knows what happens. I'll be the offensive coordinator, and next year the offense stinks, and suddenly I'm not a candidate for a job. An assistant GM, I don't think it's going anywhere. If you're a perceived top of the market GM, if you're someone people think are smart inside an organization, the likelihood of you passing up your opportunity to get your job is less likely than a coach who still is right there on the forefront, has something to answer that the fans can see tangibly. Like, it's different. I don't think GMs would be in a rush to take jobs that some coaches might feel like, hey, I'm a hot guy right now, I got to take a job. So, yes, it's all a mess. And I don't know who would take any job with the New York Jets right now. But if you think they're going to hire some football czar who would gladly take it, I don't think so. I think that's less likely than getting a good head coach. And you mentioned Pete Carroll. I don't think I would hire Pete Carroll, but if you're hung up on winning culture and Pete Carroll and USC and then Seattle, you want to hire Pete Carroll, fine. Do it as a head coach. I wouldn't give a head coach who's had success in this league suddenly a GM position at something he's never done before. Now, has he been involved in it? Is he a good football man? Does it mean he can't do it? I don't know. But with the Jets right now, I'm not taking any chances on giving anybody a job they haven't done before. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you,
buddy? Taking the call.
Oh, thank you for making
it. I'm good. I just have one question.
Yeah.
Can we stick Daniel Jones in a locker and just leave him there for a season or two? Because, I mean, the season's done. He's done. Y'all lost to the worst team in the league. Let's just put him in a locker. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm sure somebody, we had to do something about this team because they're not.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, I know you're being funny about sticking him in a locker. I take him out of the pads. It's unfair. I'm not saying it's fair. But even in a backup situation, like, he can't be the backup to this team. Part of the reason you're benching him isn't just his product on the field, isn't just the way he's played. It's the contract. It's just the reality of it. Now, he's made a lot of money. I don't feel sorry for him. He's made a lot of money. He signed a very good contract. He got what he wanted. I remember when the initial reports were he was asking for $40 million. I'll never forget it. Me and Craig were in the same room. We were back in Carton's office, and we were both reading the story or found out about it. I forget what we're talking about it. I don't remember. But someone said he's asking for $40 million, and me and Craig started laughing. And then Craig did a bit where he started laughing. He was like, Evan, ask me how much he's asking for. $40 million. Like, we thought it was hilarious that he was asking for $40 million. We thought it was absurd. And he got it. He's made a lot of money. I don't feel bad for him for that. He hasn't played so poorly that it warrants taking him out of the uniform. But his contract is what it is. And he could get hurt at practice. He could get hurt bringing him in for the backup. I think that's kind of likely. Imagine him getting thrust into a situation after, you know, Tommy DeVito's bad or Locke gets hurt. Like, he can't be the backup quarterback. He's got to be nothing. Once you pull the plug on Daniel Jones, he's gone. He's an assistant offensive coach. Put him in street clothes, give him a headset and a clipboard, and that's where it is for Daniel Jones. That's it. Because even practicing puts you at risk for $23 million next year. That can't happen. That can't happen. He can't be on the team for $23 million next year. That can't happen. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
Yeah, Chris. What's up? What's up?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
I'm the only one that's up. The Giants and Jets definitely are.
They are not.
Come on. What are we supposed to do with the rest of the season, Chris, now? I mean, come on. Why are we watching the games? They're meaningless.
I agree.
Totally meaningless. So the rest of the year, whether Daniel Jones plays, whether Aaron Rodgers continues to perform the way or underperform, what's the purpose of the rest of the season? There's no playoffs in our future. What we might as well start revamping the teams now. Look, we change coaches on the Jets. Doesn't change anything. The Giants don't need to change coach. They need a lot of help. The offensive line, they need help all over the place. Daniel Jones or no Daniel Jones. You know, what? Put in Tommy DeVito, the lasagna kid, and let him play. Maybe it's a little entertaining. But other than that, what do we have? We've got to start all over.
Yeah, absolutely. We have nothing. That's they have nothing. Both teams have absolutely nothing, Rocco. You're not wrong. And again, I think that's part of the reason I gave the conversation about Brian Daboll. I think the quarterback has dragged them down. I do. You watch that. I'm telling you, an average quarterback wins that game by 2 touchdowns in Germany. He's got big plays to be made. He doesn't make them. Time and time again. Now, the offensive line has obviously regressed since the injury of Andrew Thomas, no doubt. There have been some plays that he didn't have a lot of time. Some games are better than others. There are games where it really is rough for him, and I want to give him a break. But then there are games, like, you watch the throws, there are clean pockets. And then even if there's not a clean pocket on that flea flicker, you have to get rid of the ball. There's no one within 20 yards of Wandell Robinson in any direction. He's wide open. Throw it. It doesn't have to be a perfect throw. All you have to do is get it up in the air and anywhere near him. It's going to at least be a completion. All right, if you put it in a position where he can't catch it and run with it, that sucks. I wish you could. But if you can't because there's a guy in your face, you have to be intelligent enough. You have to be at a point in your career this many years in that you're able to make that throw. Plain and simple. That's that. Of all the plays, that's the most damning to me, because if you watch it, he has planted his foot. He's in a position to throw. Wandell Robinson is wide open 40 yards down the field. That is an enormous chunk play. Those are what win you football games. Daniel Jones and this offense is not good enough to go down the field on 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-yard play drives. Like, they're going to get messed up. There's going to be a penalty. There's going to be a drop ball. There's going to be a bad throw. There's going to be a fumble. There's going to be an interception. There's going to be a false start. There's going to be something that hinders that drive. The reason they don't score points is because he never makes big plays, ever. And the coach called for one and had it work out beautifully, and the quarterback can't complete the pass. He is dragging them down. I'm not saying Brian Daboll's done a good job, but I want to see him develop a young quarterback. And even if you don't do that, and even if you fire Brian Daboll, get the best pick and see what happens. Trade down and get more picks. Let someone who does believe in one of these quarterbacks trade up. Like, there is no benefit to winning these games. And all I'm saying about Brian Daboll is, I don't know what there is to learn. If you haven't learned already, this is year 3, and I don't think one way, they're 2-8. It's a terrible, awful season. They're a terrible, awful team. He has done a terrible, awful job. So if he wins two or three games down the stretch, suddenly that's going to make me feel a hell of a lot better. Or if he loses every game out, I'm going to feel like, oh boy, it really bottomed out here. Who cares? 2-8. 2-8's the same as 2-100. There is no difference. There is no difference. It's over. Once it's over, it's over. It doesn't matter. This isn't baseball with 162 games. There's 17 of them. When you're 2-8, it's over. 2-8, 2-15, it's all the same. I don't. This isn't a young coach with a young rookie quarterback who's trying to build. That would be one thing. If you want to tell me, oh, I feel better about Mayo in New England because him and May won 3 or 4 games down the stretch, okay. That's not the case. This is year 3 of this coach. This is the end of the quarterback's career with the New York Giants. We're not going to glean anything from.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
From the rest of this season.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Now, Tuesday morning, McMonagle here with you for another hour and a half. Big Zoo will come your way at 2 a.m., but you got me till then. Tomorrow, I'll be with you, or I guess later today now, I'll be with you at 7 o'clock for a CM to AM from 7 to midnight, 5-hour show. We'll have a couple things for you then. But right now, let's get back to the calls as we're talking mainly football. We'll get into the baseball a little bit, maybe next hour. And Juan Soto, another team services. Not that we didn't expect this team to service. I don't know if obviously Tampa Bay and some of the other teams, I don't know if I really believe in, but the latest threat, I do believe, is a team willing to spend big time on Juan Soto. Plus, we've got Aaron Boone going to fly out to L.A. to meet with, be part of the contingent that meets with Juan Soto. And then the other thing about Aaron Boone's contract, everyone seems to be up in arms that he's got a one-year deal. We'll talk about that as well. MVP finalist, Rookie of the Year finalist, a little bit of baseball coming up. Let's back to the phones with your Giant and Jet thoughts. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
What's going on, Eddie?
Here we go again, another dead season, yes. And, nothing to chime. But let's get to the crux of the real situation.
Okay.
Both owners are kind of, for being New York owners, are kind of cheap as where they land on the paying the coaches. You know, they're on the bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
And until they do something like that and step up and the money and put up the money, nothing's going to change. You know, when you let Harbaugh's and Payton's go right underneath your nose.
Yeah.
And you don't even think about it because you got a Sala and a Daboll.
Yeah.
You're kind of running the ship rudderless right now.
I mean, that's fair. I know the great Chris Moore, who's I respect. He says this a lot about.
Oh, I like Chris.
Yeah, and he talks a lot about how New York teams should never have first-time managers, first-time head coaches. He believes the market, the everything about it should bring experience with it as opposed to first-time head coaches and managers. So I mean, I think there's something to that. And you're right. They don't want to. You know, neither of these teams have historically put a lot of money into the coaching. That is true.
Yeah. So how you like? I don't mind a Belichick to straighten everything out, but they're not going to pay. They're not paying $10, $15, $20 million. I would like to know the history of the Giants and the Jets, where they rank on paying coaches. I bet you they're on the bottom 50%. Because look how many times Parcells went underneath the Giants' noses. He went to the Jets. He went to New England. He went to Dallas. The Giants never even picked up the phone.
Well, I mean, he was the Giants' head coach, though, for years. Parcells isn't the greatest of examples. Parcells left. He was with the Giants. He won two Super Bowls. They got to call Parcells back, like... Can't keep chasing the past. That one's not a great example. I think overall your point is well taken, that they haven't put money into the coaches. They haven't gone out. You saw Harbaugh available, not even a sniff with the New York Giants. Sean Payton became available, not even a sniff from the New York Giants. And now, amazingly enough, John Gruden has been kind of rumored to be a guy you could possibly bring. I mean, that's a coach who'll take any job, that's for sure. With experience in a Super Bowl championship and a bunch of other baggage with him. But Belichick is the one answer. I don't know, and you said, I don't know what he was making in New England. It's been a big secret. I mean, I guess there's been some leaks about how much he made. I don't think you would have to pay him that same amount of money. I know he's going to be well wanted. I mean, teams are going to want to hire Bill Belichick. He's Bill Belichick. I don't know if you'd have to pay him that kind of money, but yeah, you have to pay him more than you're paying Brian Daboll. You have to pay him more than hiring another coordinator to be your head coach, no doubt about it. And I think that would be the one guy that this owner would consider paying. I think that's the one guy you'd have to consider paying. And it's the one guy for me that if he picks up the phone, like I don't want to have to convince him to, like if he picks up the phone and calls John Mara and says, you know, and I know he wouldn't do it while Daboll has a job there, but like if he just says, hey, look, if you're interested, I'm interested. Like that's the one guy, if you get feelers that he's interested, how do you turn down the prospect of having the greatest head coach in history coach your team? A hungry Bill Belichick looking to prove himself in his third go round at this after such a success in New England, seeing Tom Brady win a Super Bowl and wanting to, you know, reestablish his greatness after, you know, failing in New England after Tom Brady's departure. Like that would be something I would be hard to disagree with doing that. But you're right. They have not, certainly the Giants, you know, the Jets have had the desire to make big splashes more than the Giants do, and maybe not add head coach, but Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Like, these are things, for the most part, the Giants haven't done. The Giants haven't gone out there looking for guys who make big splashes, looking to make that kind of big news, where the Jets have, even if it hasn't been a head coach necessarily. But I think there is something to the idea, enough with these. I could understand any fan who would say, especially in the New York market, enough with hiring first-time coaches. Give me someone with experience. Tom in Florida. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. You know, first things first, I got to thank you for being the only voice on the Fan who is completely on board with the Giants tanking because that's what needs to be done.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
I'm a Giants fan. Yeah, I'm a Giants fan. And, you know, I was rooting for them to tank last year once it got to like a 1-4, 1-5 start. I even called you before the draft and I said, oh, you know, they got to do everything they can to get a quarterback. And they tried, but, you know, I mean, at this point, you got to just finish the job. And the season's lost. Like, these games are meaningless.
Meaningless.
You know, even if you, you know, what's funny about last year when they threw in Tommy DeVito, I figured, well, you know, undrafted free agent, probably going to lose games, you know, season's done. But the fact that Daboll was able to win games with him kind of reinforced my trust in Daboll and how he's able to, like, work with a rookie QB and, you know, develop those habits. And, you know, I just think, you know, at this point, Daniel Jones is just, I mean, this is what, his third head coach?
Yeah,
and his sixth year. I mean, we all know who he is, and I mean, I'm sure John Mara was forced to. He basically forced Jones on Shane and Daboll, and they were basically brought in.
Yeah,
to
I mean, I think
eventually draft their QB.
I think year one he was forced on him. I don't think John Mara forced them to give him a contract and keep him. I think year one he was forced on him, and they had success, and they had no choice. And we're in no position to get a different quarterback, so they made a decision that seemed like the only one they could make, and it's been a disastrous decision. And I think we need to move on, and I agree with you. The ability of what he got from Daniel Jones in year one before Daniel Jones became broken. He also became broken under Brian Daboll, but year one, what he got out of Jones. And then last year, you're right, he gets Tommy DeVito to play pretty good football. Like, I want to see what he could do with a young quarterback that he can mold from day one. That's what I want. I still want to see that if they have that opportunity. I understand if they would decide to fire him, it's been that bad. But, like, to me, the whole thing with him, and thank you for the call, Tom, and I don't understand why anyone wouldn't be on the tank. I don't know why any host or anyone, any Giant fan, I don't understand it. Now, I get what tanking means to most people. Again, no one is expecting the coaches to coach to lose. No one's expecting the players to play to lose. I'm not saying they'll fumble on purpose. I don't think Tracy fumbled at the end of that game on purpose so that they could lose the game. There's not there's not sabotage going on the field to make sure they lose. We all understand that. That's not what I'm suggesting they do. They need to bench Daniel Jones, right? The team isn't good enough. Anyone who's banged up, don't play him. Burns, why he's, you know, if he's in dealing with an injury, don't bring him back. Like that. That's you make decisions. You go into evaluation mode with young players as opposed to playing the better players. Like, you know, those are the kind of decisions. The people on the field play to win. The coaches, while during the game, coach to win. But decisions made on the roster and who plays and the amount of snaps players get and everything, that's where you can make small decisions that not necessarily are made to lose the game, but don't prioritize winning the game. I mean, the Giants are better off losing. I can't imagine anyone having a different opinion. I can't imagine anyone having a different opinion. Explain to me how they're better off winning games. I honestly don't know how you could say that. Save the coach? I mean, I guess that's it, right? You believe in Brian Daboll and you want to make sure you save the coach so they need to win games. That's the only argument, and I even think that one's dumb because that takes him out of the one position that I trust the most is getting the young quarterback and developing him. I feel better about keeping Brian Daboll if they lose every game. I know that sounds crazy to some. I don't care about being 2-15 when I'm 2-8. I don't care. I care about moving forward and go and tell me who you know you're going to go. If you're looking in the market to draft a franchise quarterback, which again, you don't have one. And if you're at the top of the draft, I would think that's probably where you go. Give me another coach they could bring in. You feel better about developing that young quarterback. Like, honestly. All right. So clock management, field goal kicking, you know, different play calling even. I get it, but like developing the young quarterback is why he was brought here. That's what he did to get the job. Who would you feel better about in the NFL? Who are you going to go hire? Go bring in Vrabel. Okay, is he going to develop a young quarterback? Maybe. I know you can't base every decision just on that, but I'm just saying, like, if that's the position they find themselves in, it's like, finally, what Brian Daboll was brought here to do. If they win three games and aren't, if they win four games or something and aren't in the drafting a quarterback mode, I'm more likely to say, fine, move on from them. Like, it's, I don't understand. It's all just backwards, man. I don't understand. The idea they need to win games for any purpose whatsoever makes zero sense to me. I'm thrilled the Dolphins won last night to get to three wins. Now, I didn't expect the Dolphins to bottom out, but hey, you never know. Unfortunately, and I hate saying this, but Tua could go down at any moment. They could have easily won. Now they've got three wins. Stay under three. Like every team that has two wins, I want them to get that third. I want the Giants to have the number one pick. That's what I want. That's the only thing left to get out of this season. That's the best case scenario, is the number one pick. That's it. That's the best case scenario. There is no other thing. How could you say anything else than the first pick in the draft next year is best case scenario? Other than running the table and sneaking into the playoffs. At 9-8. Like, I mean, that's it. And we know that's not going to happen. Matt in Massapequa. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, McMonagle? Thanks for your taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
So, I'm a lifelong Jets fan, and year after year after year, it's just a total embarrassment.
Yep.
And I've noticed, like, the trend. It's like, You have like 4 or 5 years of just total embarrassment. Then you get 1 year going into the year. You have a sliver of confidence. The roster looks all right. The coach you have some confidence in, and it just all falls apart before December. And there's just complete dysfunction from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And it's like the time machine. I don't know why I watch anymore because I'm 31 years old. I've seen it happen over and over and over again.
No, I understand. Listen, I don't know what you want me to say to that in particular. Yeah, the Jets are a disaster. And you know what? The Giants are creeping up. Now, the Giants have 4 Super Bowls to the Jets 1. I get it. And the Giants have won 4 since the Jets won that one back in Super Bowl III, 1969. So, yes, I'm not trying to say that a long-suffering Giant fan is anywhere near a long-suffering Jet fan, but the last 10 years, I mean, you're talking about one game against Minnesota. That's the difference between the Giants and the Jets over the last 10 years. Like, that is it. It's the same thing with the Giants. Dead season after dead season after dead season after dead season. Both of these teams right now, even Aaron Rodgers couldn't come here and change this thing. I mean, you could have told me that they weren't going to be the team I hoped they would be, and I could have believed you. This bad, I would have never suspected this. Like, I got to admit. And Boomer said something yesterday that I totally agree with. And it's amazing because I thought it would be the opposite. He has sucked the life out of the team. I thought he was going to be the thing that breathed life into the team. After this group of players, after Sauce Gardner, after Garrett Wilson, after Breece Hall, after this defense, who continued to play good football week in and week out, watched Zach Wilson cost them game after game after game, and they went out there and got the Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. They couldn't have been more excited about it. They're going to see Broadway shows together. They're buying each other jewelry. Like, you watch it in Hard Knocks, and they can't believe how good he is. Like, I thought he was going to uplift this team. And instead, you got guys like, you know, Mike Williams gets traded and is throwing jabs and scoring game-winning touchdowns for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, like, the regression of Breece Hall, the regression at the start of the year, at least, of Garrett Wilson, the inability to get, like, any sort of vibes going, the giving up on games, the no-shows from the defense. Like, it's amazing that this process has actually sucked the life out of them as opposed to breathing in life. This is as hard to understand as anything I've ever seen. Like, even like, and we talk about the collection of talent, and it's like, the Nets, you knew James Harden was going to be James Harden. Like, you knew that that Kyrie could be Kyrie. There was a brief moment that you thought it could all gel and maybe you win one or two championships, but it wasn't a sustained thing. Like, you knew that there could be problems there. Volatile people. There's only five players on the court at the same time with one ball. Like, there was a chance that blew up personality-wise, you know, everything. Like, this, I did not see this making the Jets worse. I didn't see that. I cannot believe that Aaron Rodgers coming here has made him worse, has made the Jets worse, has made the vibes worse. Like, everything about it is worse. I would have never suspected it. You would have told me, hey, listen, they only win 9 games and just miss the playoffs, or they only win 9 games and just sneak in and lose in the wild card round. Like, that was all plausible to me. I did not see a dead season. I did not see 3-7. I did not see no shows after wins. I did not see the inability to come up with a game plan off 10-day layoff. I did not see Aaron Rodgers bringing down the organization. I didn't see it. Amazing.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.